We're standing right now on the southern tip of the High Line, and to our left, we have the New Whitney Museum. To our right, we have the Standard Hotel. I'm here with architecture critic James Russell of The Economist and many other publications. And James, I'd like to know what you think of the New Whitney from the outside as a building.
It's a bit of a train wreck, a mashup of a lot of shapes, materials, and forms. It has a little bit of a laboratory quality to it. It has big projecting gray stairs that have been compared to fire escapes. This, in a sense, reflects the nature of the neighborhood. I mean, for years it was a land of meat packers, lots of loft buildings. But I think Renzo, in some fashion, was trying to pick up on all these histories in using all these shapes and forms.
So let's go in.
Third floor.
We're now inside the museum, which has 8 floors. 4 of them are galleries, and we're joined now by WNYC's art critic, Deborah Solomon, who's been wandering the galleries of the Whitney for the last couple of hours. And what's your initial impression?
I think anybody who likes light and who likes air and who likes life itself has to applaud this new building, which is so full of wonderful spaces. Does all the artwork benefit from the wealth of light? Not necessarily. I have no idea why Arshil Gorky's famous painting of his mother, who endured the Armenian genocide, is hanging next to the Hudson River. It's a tragic painting. One would like it in a more sober setting than on top of the river.
One of the things I've been sort of thinking about looking at this museum is that it's very loose, very open. There aren't like room-like galleries. Things sort of slide in to one another. Is that something that you like or something that you find problematic?
No, I do find that very problematic. Actually, there's no place to get away. If you're the type of person who wants to go to a museum by yourself on lunch hour and have a private moment, you're not going to have it here. Even if it's empty, you can't have a private moment because the galleries are very shallow and they sort of reach towards the windows on either end, and the light and the terraces kind of pull you outside and say, please, come sunbathe, come admire the views. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure yet whether the art will ever really offer the kind of powerful private moment that we often turn to art for.
Let's move east now through these galleries with the gray walls. As we move toward this even larger gallery, the wall's color changes to white, which kind of changes the whole ambiance of the gallery. And we also have larger works from the latter part of the 20th century, a lot of abstract art in this gallery.
The abstract expressionist gallery is the climax of the whole experience. This is a beautiful gallery. It's dominated by Lee Krasner's The Seasons from 1957, a massive pink and green painting that somehow manages to hold the wall better than the artists who have traditionally dominated that period, such as de Kooning, such as Pollock, Lee Krasner's husband, and even Joan Mitchell. Everything else feels smaller and slighter than that painting. So that, to me, is a fabulous act of revisionism.
Let's go and check out some of the terraces now.
Relatively small.
All right, so here we are in the fresh air and the bright sun out on the 7th floor terrace. We have 3 sculptures here. This is very open to the city. You've got views from inside the galleries. You've got galleries outside on terraces. Is this the direction that museums are going now in the 21st century?
Well, I think it's really important because a lot of people are very intimidated by things that look like the Metropolitan Museum of Art with huge columns and classical entablatures and giant stairways. And people think that it's not inviting me. I don't belong here. This is not what it's about. This museum is a little bit betwixt and between. But if people say, oh, well, you've got to go to that museum if for no other reason than to stand out in the beautiful terraces and look at the city, well, then it gives the museum the chance to introduce people to art. And hopefully they'll see something that just stops them dead and say, this really means something to me.
Come for the terrorists, stay for the art.
Exactly. So this is the great view of the High Line, by the way.
Oh, yeah. There are other terraces. There's one on the 6th floor, one floor below us, one on the 8th floor, a floor above us, and they're all connected by stairs, so you could actually spend a lot of time outside on the terraces enjoying the skyline view and the art that's on display.
We got 5.
The inaugural show is called America is Hard to See. They're basically going into their permanent collection and pulling out all their great stuff that they feel they should put on display to open the new place. Deborah, what do you think of that choice?
I think the Whitney opened with this show as a justification for its expansion. Museums always say, we need more space. We're only showing 1% of the permanent collection. My question is, you know, do they need to show more? I mean, they don't need to show everything they own, because not everything they own is great. But in this case, the Whitney tripled, I believe, the space for its permanent collection. And it now has pulled out a lot of very interesting paintings that I do not recall ever seeing at the Whitney before. And it is great to see them.
The total area of the new Whitney is 220,000 square feet, three times bigger than the building in Midtown. Does the Whitney need that much space?
Well, time will tell. We need to see what kind of shows they do and whether they develop any kind of focus. I feel like the Whitney has now returned to downtown where it came from. It has returned to its true home and once again is becoming an arbiter of who's in and who's out. Hopefully it will evolve to a larger message over time, but I think we have to give it at least a year before we decide whether they're putting the space to good use.
They could certainly use it in many ways. They can open up that 18,000 square foot completely column-free space on the fifth floor and put a couple giant sculptures in it, and everyone will just go, wow. Or they can cut it up into a lot of little tiny galleries and fill it full of jewel box art. That's a lot of flexibility.
James Russell, architecture critic. Deborah Solomon, WNYC's art critic. Thanks so much for joining me on this tour today.
Oh, it's really fun.
Thank you, Sotirios.